This is the Inside ECAC Hockey Podcast, hosted by Bernie Corbett.
Well, welcome everyone. Welcome. March Madness in full swing here on Inside ECAC Hockey. Bernie Corbett pleased to be joined on the women's side by the head coach of the Colgate Raiders, Greg Fargo. Greg, welcome to the show. And I'm sure that you are anxious to resume play this weekend. But as one of the top seeds, you have an opportunity to play at home and you have an opportunity to sit back and scout your opponent. I suspect that that would be on the itinerary for today.
Yeah, absolutely. First of all, thanks for having me back, Bernie. Great to be with you. And we're excited to be playing another home game this upcoming Saturday. And we'll wait to see the result of tonight's game. But nonetheless, it'll be excellent to be able to sit down and watch the game tonight and learn who we're going to play Saturday. It's a fun time of year. As you know, the stakes are high, but hopefully, there's some really great hockey to be seen. And I think if last weekend speaks to what we're going to see this upcoming weekend, I think everybody's in for a great treat. So looking forward to the weekend ahead.
Well, the body of work here and what you've done with this program is just been absolutely just off the charts, exemplary. Congratulations first for a fourth straight ECAC title. Second time that's ever happened in the history of ECAC women's hockey, by the way. And the last time it happened was about, three decades ago. Just a testament to the program that you built. And from following this league this season, I just think that you can't underestimate the magnitude of that because of the waters that you had to navigate week in and week out in the ECAC. I just couldn't believe covering this league, just how good the league was. The quality and the quantity of this league this year was just absolutely off the charts. It was staggering.
Yeah, it really was. I think that's what makes it, even more special having this fourth consecutive championship. I mean, you look up and down this league, Bernie, and every weekend that we have to play, we know that we're in for just an absolute dogfight against whoever it is. And I think, as I've been here in the league for 12 years, it's gotten better and better each year. But I think that is such a great thing. I mean, we talk about it as a staff all the time, just like the competitiveness up and down our standings, up and down our league. And it forces you as a team, as a program, to continue to evolve and get better. And, I think that's something that we've taken a lot of pride in, knowing that it's going to be an absolute gauntlet year in and year out, and every year gets tougher. That idea that iron sharpens iron, and I think that is true once again this past year. There are some great teams in our league, as on display with four of our ECAC hockey teams in the NCAA tournament once again this year. We're really lucky to come out on top, but I think it's a testament to the league and the work that every team's doing to keep improving. It makes us all better.
No question. And you had to be at the top of your game, you knew, last weekend in order to secure that fourth straight ECAC title. We take a look back there, a familiar opponent from down the road who you might see again. Speak of familiarity, what that breeds, we all know it's contempt, Greg. There's no question. Everybody gets to know each other. You might see them again. You started off the semifinal 5-1 victory over Cornell. And there are several different areas that you can look to for big plays and big performances. The Dana Gregg with 4 points in that game to lead the way for you offensively.
Yeah, she was outstanding, especially in that game. I think, one thing that we get to see, Bernie, and I know you've been around the game a long time, is just, senior players that are playing like seniors, mm-hmm. Their careers are on the line. And, Dara all year long has been kind of that she's the glue of our team. She's the loud one in the locker room and on the bench. And she's kind of that spark plug that we've needed at different times. But she certainly showed up in that game against Cornell the other night, and has been playing some great hockey this year. So just happy for her to be able to contribute in that way, and has been a big part of our team throughout it all. But we've got a group of seniors right now that are playing like seniors, and we're certainly going to need their leadership here the rest of the way.
And not to be outdone, this, as far as impact freshmen that you've brought in, first year players in the program, Emma Pate, 9th multi-point game of the season, and indicative of the fact of that type of performance, garnering Rookie of the Year in the ECAC. So she was another big contributor for you in the semifinal.
Yeah, she's been outstanding all year. In a lot of ways, I think Emma's fit right into our lineup, and has kind of shed that layer of being a first-year player, you know, pretty early. I think, you know, anytime you see that, a first-year player that's not afraid to involve herself in different ways, she's jumped right in. She's playing on one of our top lines and on a power play unit. And I think a large part of her success has to be, you know, paid to some of our leadership and just the way that they are and helped her grow. Emma can completely be herself and fit right into our lineup as she should. And nonetheless, like her impact offensively has been felt by all of us and our team, and we're grateful for that. But you know, Emma has a real bright future. She's a great player. She's impacted our team immediately, but there's still a lot of opportunity for her to continue to grow and get better in our program over the years to come. So excited for her. Hopefully she can continue to make an impact here in these important games up ahead.
Interviewed her earlier in the year, enjoyed the opportunity to talk hockey with Danielle Sudakny. And just another night on the ice for her, you know, a 3-point night for Patty Kazmaier, finalist, the top 10. And it truly a world, we're not talking just the ECAC, we're talking beyond a world-class player that you have there, real special.
Incredibly special, Bernie. Players like Danielle don't come around all the time, as you know. And, we're grateful that she is a Colgate Raider through and through and has chosen to spend 5 years here with us. But she herself, I think, what can you say? I mean, the impact that she's had on our program, 4 straight ECAC championships, and now trying to get back to another Final Four here for our program. I think Danielle, as much as she gets a lot of attention for what she's done individually, if you get to know her and speak to her, it's clear that that she has big team goals in mind and wants to move our program forward, as a team, as a program. And so what she's been able to come in and do throughout her time here is remarkable. Obviously, she's set a brand new standard for us and for all the scoring records that exist in our program. But she's a special person, a special player, and a special leader that we're really grateful she's a part of the program.
61 points to lead your team, and 3 for 3 on the power play Friday. That power play number, you talk about lethal. Take a penalty at your own peril against the Raiders. 35, so rounded off, 36% on the power play. You just don't see numbers like that at any level of hockey. You talk about me being around hockey for a long time. I have. And I'm trying to think of a number that would equate. When I was about 10 years old and following BU as a young kid, they won the national championship in 1971. And I think that was, I ever saw a power play that had a number that was close to 40. It's been a while.
It's been a lot of fun to see that come together. I mean, you know, and they were mounting and they were great in that game against Cornell, going 3 for 3, I think. And when things are, as you know, on the power play, when things feel good, they feel good, you know. And but going into that Cornell game, ironically, we'd been a little bit dry lately. We've had a really good year on the power play all year, but over the last handful of games, it hasn't been clicking as it once was. But to see that those power play units come together and execute in some of the biggest moments. That felt good. That was a difference in the game, certainly. But it's been a real source of pride for our group. The one unit for the most part has been together for a long, long time, well over a year. And so there's a lot of familiarity. As a coach, it's great because, you can kind of step back and let them do their thing. As time goes on, they tend to solve their own problems inside the games. And, there isn't too much that they haven't seen at this point. And I think that's one of the benefits of having a group together for a long time that, that understands where to be and where to go and how to navigate the ice, depending on how the opposition's playing it. So, excited for them. And, you know, that's been a big part of our success, and we're going to certainly lean on them as time goes on. And in the playoffs, frankly, you typically don't get as many looks. You know, the standard becomes a little tighter. And so in those games that are tight, you know, one power play or one PK can be the difference. And hopefully they can be that for us.
That set the stage for the championship game with Claxton. A real tight game as expected. I mean, you look at the 3-0 score, and then you look at the fact that you had two empty netters in that game. I mean, essentially that was a scoreless game, and the ebb and flow to the game with great scoring chances. You had to solve Pasechnik. They had her on recently. They had a chance to talk to her, no easy task to do that. And you finally got one by her and with the game that she turned in. My goodness, that was a tall task for you.
It was. And Pasechnik was, she's been great all year. And once again, in that championship game, she was outstanding. And, for the majority of the game, we really liked how we were playing. And we had some real good chances, but she was up to the task. And, you know, it took a wide shot that went off her, and then
a blocker.
Yeah, off the blocker and then off a green jersey in the net to give us the lead. But it, like you said, Bernie, it was a back and forth game. It probably, you know, you can't draw up a championship game any better in the sense that both teams had their opportunities. Both goaltenders were outstanding. And it took a bounce for us to come, you know, to gain the lead. And it didn't feel like it was sealed until that second empty netter, certainly. But, great to win at home in front of our home fans, as we've had to do it in years past on the road. And, it's just great to be able to share that with our fans and our community here at Colgate.
And absolutely just a huge win to secure that championship and not to be outdone. The MOP of the tournament, the most outstanding player, 30 saves, her second highest of the season. Kaylee Osborne, your goaltender, was acknowledged by the ECAC with that honor.
Yeah, she's been outstanding all year. I think, you know, for both of our goalies, for Haley and for Hannah Murphy, you know, we're really fortunate. We've got two number one goalies. And, for the last 2 years, they've been sharing the net, going back and forth. And Haley put in a great performance this past weekend in the semifinal and final. And she led our team to a victory, I think. She just gives our team a lot of confidence. They both do. But to be able to see her kind of step up in some of the bigger moments this year has been a lot of fun. And again, you talk about seniors playing like seniors. Kaylee is that for us. She's laying it all on the line right now, and certainly feels good having either one of those two goaltenders in the net. But when you have someone that's planned to, you know, live another day and play another day in their career, Kaylee for sure gave us the best chance to win this past weekend. It was great.
You addressed the leadership, your core group, and it is a solid group. But with the success that they've had, I love when I see a coach use the word at this time of year, calmness. There's a calmness about them because of the fact that they've been there before and they know what it takes to get to the finish line and accomplish their goals. And I'm sure that's something you take into this weekend to try to advance.
Yeah, you do. I think, you know, is the best word that came to mind, Bernie, at the time. And I feel so strongly about that, though. I mean,
yep.
You know, as you said, when you have a group that's been there in those big moments before, I think you just realize, like, you have to stay present in the moment. Really, you know, we don't need to play a game that, you know, we don't have to rise to the occasion, you know, that I think is a myth that's out there and in important games where sometimes you feel as a performer, you've got to rise to the occasion. And I think what we've done so well is we've been able to stay present. We've been able to continue to focus in on what matters to us and to our team and to play to our identity. And I think when you've got leadership in the room, with a complete understanding of what they need to do and how it needs to be done, that resonates throughout the room for some of the younger players that may be there for the first time. So, I can't speak enough about just the leadership and not just what they say, but how they model it. We've got a pretty good recipe here, I think, and having won four in a row. But I think a big reason that some of our younger players are able to come in and perform, as we saw in that championship game, is a result of that calmness in the room and that experience.
Well, you bounced back nicely from that North Country trip there in early February. Five in a row, you won five in a row, 7 of 8. After that North Country trip, was there a little bit of soul searching, I would expect, in terms of getting things turned back in the right direction? And you being in a position as the head coach, were you able to kind of turn that over to having such a strong leadership group and such a strong group of seniors?
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, that was a difficult trip in more ways than one, and, you know, not coming out with the results that we wanted that weekend when we had an opportunity to kind of solidify first place. You know, we dug in, and I credit, you know, our leadership and our coaching staff too. I've been surrounded by some great assistant coaches that really dug into our game. I think over the last several weeks leading into the playoffs, we really, we took a deep look at some of the areas we felt like we needed to get better at, and kind of uncovered some of those things, and presented some of those findings to the team. And I think, both the work that the assistant coaches did there on that front, but also the buy-in from our group to play the right way, and especially without the puck, I think those were areas that we felt like we needed to shore up and get better if we were going to make any kind of run in the playoffs and have to beat some of those teams again. So a lot of credit goes to those folks, my staff and our leadership for buying in. But I think we all feel really good about where our game's at and how we're playing right now. And we're just looking to continue that work.
Well, best of luck here as you look to move forward. Guess you're going to be looking at an unfamiliar team, someone unfamiliar, breaking down the film with Stonehill coming out of the Newhart. And Cornell, I don't think you need to look at any the familiarity level there with Cornell. It's probably pretty strong at this point.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I think, you know, you play. It kind of reminds you of the COVID year when, you know, back when we played Clarkson and St. Lawrence about 10 times, but, playing Cornell, which would be the fourth time if that's how it shakes out. I mean, there's a lot of familiarity with our two teams, and, you know, they have such a great staff over there, and Doug does a great job. I think, you know, they'll make some adjustments and be ready if that's the way it goes. But nonetheless, Saturday afternoon is going to be a great game and should be a lot of fun to be a part of. So just eager to sit back as an observer tonight, watch a game, and then gear up even more for Saturday afternoon. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Best of luck, Greg, on the road to Durham there and being able to get that opportunity in the Frozen Four.
Yeah, I hope so, Bernie. Thanks a lot.
Greg Fargo, head coach of the Colgate Raiders, getting ready for NCAA play at home this weekend on the road to Durham and the Women's Frozen Four. Our guest here on Inside ECAC Hockey. Well, welcome, everyone. Welcome back to our Mark Madness edition of Inside ECAC Hockey. We're pleased to be joined here on men's side this week by Dave Smith. Dave, the head coach of the RPI Engineers, advancing at the Survive and Advance time. It is March Madness. And that is exactly what the Engineers did last week as the 12 seed, defeating Clarkson on the road, the number 5 seed, to extend their season and bring them to Quinnipiac this weekend, further play in the quarterfinals of the ECAC tournament. Dave, welcome. We talked early in the season. Was a difficult one. I know, kind of a roller coaster ride for you over the course of the year, but the only thing that matters is how you're playing now, and how you played at Clarkson was a winning formula last weekend.
Yeah, hi, Bray. Thanks for having us on. And, you know, I was really proud of our guys and really down the stretch. I thought we were doing a lot of good things, and we lost a few games in shootouts, but we were playing hard. We were playing properly to our identity, and we were able to put it together for sure for about 55 minutes against Clarkson. And then they really had a push on, which everybody does when your season's on the line. And our guys were able to hold that door shut just enough and come back with the victory.
Absolutely able to stem the tide there. A furious comeback by Clarkson. We put 22 shots on net in the third period. And you guys, as you have to do, you got into the shooting lanes with some blocks there and being able to protect that lead. But that is, Dave, you've been around for a long enough to know the toughest thing is when you got to get someone else to take the jersey off at the end of the year. And that is never an easy task.
No, absolutely. And Clarkson, I mean, I think they had 15 shots in the last 5 minutes. So we hadn't played with a lot of leads this year. And, our desperation was there. Our execution maybe wasn't where it needed to be to lock that game down. But our desperation was, and Jack Watson played great in the net, and we were able to, like I said, play really, really well in a very good game, up 3-0 until about 6 minutes left. We got a little nervous at the end, and hopefully we can learn from that and apply it moving forward.
Hey, look at Jack, just to give us some insight about his progress over the course of the year and the fact that he had this type of game in him to come up and to really be a difference maker for you.
Yeah, Jack's had an interesting year. He's been out a couple times with injuries and, is part of the story of the season. When your number one goalie goes down, I think everybody feels that pain a little bit. But this time when he came back, he's like, hey, I want to be a spark for the guys. I want to be ready for the moments that I can contribute. And he is absolutely ready. But, he's shown that he can get hot in these spurts. And he's played very well recently.
Hey, you talked about progress during the most recent stretch before the playoffs. You and your staff, could you see this effort coming? The fact that we're not going to be daunted by going on the road, being in a difficult position to get to Clarkson and be able to come up with a win? Or were you maybe even a little bit surprised at how they raised the bar for you last week?
I was not surprised by our effort. I was not surprised by our attitude and our preparation. We were 2 wins out of 7th place. And, that's a story that you say when you're in 12th place. You say, well, man, we were close. But, 3 shootout losses, a couple empty net goals that turn into ties that go into shootout losses. We didn't feel like we were a 12th place team. And quite honestly, I think our guys were embarrassed and then relieved that the regular season was over, so we had a clean slate. So our guys continued to work and to battle, and through injuries, through lots of adversity that every team deals with. But I was not surprised by the effort and the attitude of our guys, nor by our play, because we've had a full lineup, and we were nearly full on Saturday against Clarkson. We're a different team, and we felt really good about the lineup that we put out there.
And with your experience as a head coach, Dave, it seems like you successfully conveyed the it's a clean slate. Everybody is 0-0 record heading into the postseason. You've been in these positions before during your tenure going back to a previous address.
Well, and there's a lot of people rating for RPI hockey, and you hear these stories about, 1995, and they finished 10th, and, they beat Clarkson, and then they beat Harvard, who then knocked Harvard in the NCAA tournament. I think it was 95 or 96. And even my own experiences where, we finished 7th at Canisius 1 year. You go on and win the league championship, and then you
remember, yeah,
run, right? So Absolutely. Yep. You know, the coaches and our staff, Chuck, Matias, and Carlos, do a great job. We all share that message. But inside the room, it starts with our captain, Jake Gagnon, and it filters through the other leaders that are in there, because we can't, you can't sell something to guys that don't believe it. And so our guys believed it, they carried it out, and you know, now we get to reload and do it again.
Looking at the game overall, imperative to get the lead on the road as the lowest seed. It didn't take long to do that. You scored the opening minute of the game to kind of set the tone there. That must have a little bit of a sigh of relief on the bench at that point.
Well, you know, you need a lot of things to I'm doing the finger quotes, but to the upset on the road. And scoring early is definitely one of those things. Sure. Goaltending we've talked about, but you know, that's a really good pass from the grad transfer, Ryan Brichette, to our freshman, Tyler Hotson, who led our team in goals. And he really is a gamer. It definitely gave a shot in the arm of confidence. And then the game was really, you know, even. I think both teams played very well. And, you know, power plays here and there. But that start definitely gives you a boost that, all right, we are on the right path and we got this.
And a guy that has been there for you all year, just to give us a little bit of insight about what Austin Heidemann has meant as a presence and as a productive offensive player for you.
Yeah, Austin has been outstanding. And, you know, we picked him up again in the portal a couple years ago, came in, and he was really just focused on one part of the game. All he wanted to do was score and get points. And to his credit, he bought into playing a complete game. I can use him in almost every situation now. And his consistent work ethic, his consistent interest in being an all-around player is really a stabilizing influence on our group. And I'm really proud of what Austin has done with us and for us this year. And I would expect him to be no different on Friday night.
And goaltending looms large, particularly you get to the postseason, Dave, as you're well aware of. Also on the special teams, you hit 1-for-2 on the power play. You get that good timely power play goal to help the cause. And then also, not surprisingly, with the goalie at playing at a very high level, penalty to kill comes into play there. And you're able to stave off the four of those situations. Perfect 4-for-4 on the PK.
Well, and that's the story of our season right there, the PK. We have really had a lot of moments that haven't been good on the PK. And we spend a lot of time with it. We keep working with it. You know, we continue to push the envelope and be great in certain areas of the PK. And that definitely came out because Clarkson's got a lot of high skill. So to win the special teams game, our goaltender played really well to score early. We're touching on all the things that you need to do to win a playoff game on the road and to end somebody's season. So, you know, it's special teams will continue to be a part of every playoff hockey game in every league.
You mentioned about on the special teams, a pretty wide discrepancy. Almost 20% on the power play, you know, so that's in range. But as you said, the PK, that was a real step up for you, where the PK's only been, I guess right now I'm just looking about 71% there. So that was an area I'm sure that you did. You have spent a lot of time in the lab trying to study.
Yeah, that's the lab, Bernie, is a great way to put it. And then I give, you know, Coach Weber, who runs the power play, a lot of credit, because there was a time that our power play was under 10%. And that was after Christmas. And we've really settled in on that. We've scored a lot of big goals, a lot of important goals for us on the power play. And we know it's important, but, you know, part of the story of our season was injuries, but part was tough penalty kill, tough power play. And now, you know, we find success in the first round against Clarkson in their building. You know, those things were good. Those things came together. And then, again, it's not a secret, but we've worked hard to get those areas ready and happy when they did show.
And ready to embrace this road challenge. Also, just getting ready to talk here today, I noticed that 7 of the 10 wins have been on the road. So you've had some success on the road. I'm speaking for the citizens of Troy, less success at home, unfortunately, at Houston. So you hopefully you get a little bit of a comfort level there, the fact that you'll be able to travel, keep the team together, and a little bit of that camaraderie factor this weekend to go with and to go as a team.
Yeah, it's a little bit different than I think what most people would draw it up, say we want to you know, you can get 7 wins on the road and you can go, you know, 75% at home. You got a dynamite season, but I don't really know why we've been better on the road. I just, I don't think there's a routine. We love our fans at the Houston Fieldhouse. We've had a couple rocking crowds and it's such a fun place to play.
Oh yeah.
So it doesn't add up to me. It's not logical that our home record is what it is, but that's what we've earned, or that's what we garnered that record. But going on the road again, Quinnipiac's a really talented team, and you know their building is they love their team, so it'll be another good test for our guys.
Well, for next year, my only suggestion is maybe say a prayer to Ned Harkness. He built it from that old airplane hangar.
Yeah. Well, the name Harkness is a legend here, and I love telling the story. You know, he won a national championship for RPI hockey in 1954.
That's right.
Same year, he coached the men's lacrosse team to a national championship. And I don't know how many people can lay claim to that, but
that's right.
That's a pretty special accomplishment.
Yep.
National championships in two sports in the same year.
Indeed. Absolutely. His prowess in that area also. A true legend. And then I think he went somewhere else too after that. It escapes me. He had a big goalie. The other stop he had. Yeah, that I can't think of that guy's name either.
I'll have your Mueller podcast.
Absolutely. And the challenge of this weekend, Quinnipiac, I mean, they're there every year. I mean, there's no question. You know, you look at the standings, you know where they're going to be. They're there again as the number one seed. Your thoughts facing them, you saw them early at home, and you saw them more recently in February down in Hamden. As you prepare for that challenge, Dave.
Yeah, well, they do what top place teams in any league do. I mean, 17-4-1 is a great record. Two of those losses came in one weekend on the road, but
yeah.
They score goals, they defend well, they've got everything that a first place team has in terms of depth and an elite player in Colin Graf. They got first teamers, across the board, second teamers, so. They're a good hockey team, and but they're not invincible, and no one is. And, so it's important to be aware of what they are and who they are and what they do well, and we've got to come out and play the cards that we're dealt, that we have in our hand, and really go for it.
Best of luck this weekend. Survive, advance from Potsdam. Now it's Hamden and Quinnipiac, and all the best to you and the engineers, Dave, as you go on to the next challenge here in the quarterfinal.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Bernie. Thanks for having me on.
Coach Dave Smith of the RPI Engineers joining us here. March Madness continuing on Inside ECAC Hockey.
Thank you for listening to this week's edition of the Inside ECAC Hockey Podcast. Follow ECAC Hockey across all social media platforms, and thank you to the coaches and players for coming on the podcast every week. This has been the Inside ECAC Hockey Podcast, hosted by Bernie Corbett. Yeah.